www.thebeatmedia.com.
We have this week and one more in this series called Reason to Rejoice. Kind of starts with the big idea that we have a reason to rejoice, which is Jesus. That's a pretty big one. But because we have Jesus, we have so many other reasons to rejoice as well. And the reason, I guess, that we are focusing on today is this: the future is now. The future is now. And we'll get to why it's called that in a bit. But here's the big idea of it. Because we have Jesus, we are citizens of heaven, in the world but not of the world, and our names are in the book of life. Right? Because we have Jesus, we are citizens of heaven, in the world but not of the world, and our names are in the book of life. Now, I don't know, you might hear those phrases come up and think like, oh, this is going to be one of those messages about what heaven's going to be like. Right? We just sang a song about that, when I walked the streets of gold and all that sort of thing. Look, there is this amazing reality, an eternity in heaven that we have to look forward to, but that's not actually going to be the focus this morning. It's about how our heavenly destination should affect us here and now. Okay? In Hebrews, Paul writes about Abraham and his descendants. He writes about the author writes about, many people think that it's Paul, but the author of Hebrews writes about Abraham and his descendants. He writes about many people of faith, but how they all had this perspective. And the perspective, well, let's read it. It's Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. It said, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one." Right? So the text here is saying that these people, Abraham, his descendants, the people of faith, prior to Christ, looked forward to a better place, a place they had been promised but had not yet received and had never been to before. In the meantime, they lived by faith. And that is true for us as well. There is the reality of heaven yet to come that is so much better than this place that we're living in now. But Scripture tells us that we are already citizens of heaven. So the future is now. The future is now. So again, that statement, because we have Jesus, we are citizens of heaven, in the world but not of the world, and our names are in the book of life. Now, the bulk of this morning, I want us to, for the next few minutes, I want us to focus on the citizens part, what it means to be citizens of heaven. Okay, so we are citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20 has this statement in it, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? We can leave that up for a bit. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to focus first on that first phrase, our citizenship is in heaven. So when Paul wrote this to the Philippians and included this reference to citizenship in heaven, it was actually pretty loaded with depth and meaning for them, because he was drawing on their cultural understanding of citizenship to help them see a spiritual reality. So to understand this, like Philippi, the city of Philippi was a Roman colony. It was located in Greece, was named after Philip, who had conquered and occupied that land. Philip was also the father of Alexander the Great. But later, that city was destroyed and then rebuilt by Rome. The Emperor Octavian strategically set Philippi up as a military outpost with a mission to bring Roman culture and rule to Greece and also to expand Roman influence in neighboring areas. Right? This was the point of this colony. Now, as a Roman colony, those who lived in Philippi were granted Roman citizenship with its privileges, including like property ownership and tax exemptions and legal protection. Right? The privileges were also extended to the Jews and to the Greeks who were living in Philippi. Like, and so they too, they valued their Roman citizenship and their identification with Rome. So that's kind of the backdrop for this important little reference when Paul says, we are citizens of heaven. And if I were to put this in my context, right, I am a U.S. citizen. This place is my home, always has been. It's what I know, right? Foreign places seem, well, they just seem really foreign. It's interesting right now. My daughter Taryn is in Poland on a work trip and for a conference there. I was tracking her on my phone because, you know, I've seen the movie Taken, and so, you know, there's a little bit of worry about your kid when they go overseas and that sort of thing. But anyway, I was looking at the map and expanding it out, and I was seeing all the towns and cities around where she was at, and I thought, boy, this looks like a random collection of letters used to make up a name that I cannot pronounce. And, you know, and I'm part Polish, but I don't get it, right? So it was crazy. But I'm looking at those names going, yeah, definitely not my home. That is definitely not a place I call home. One of my best friends, his wife is originally from Mexico, and she's been here for like 2 decades, but I would guess that Mexico to her feels a lot more still like home than the U.S. does, even though she loves it here, right? As someone who was born here and lived here all my life, just about anywhere else that I would go outside Wisconsin feels a little bit foreign to me, whether it's another country, another region of the United States, or even just another state. Like, it might be nice, I might really like it, but it doesn't feel like home. Now, if I were to permanently move overseas, become a citizen there, even then, I'm so used to here that there would still feel like home for a long time. Right? I'm going to say that better. I'm so used to here that even though I'm there, here would still feel like home for a long time. And we all have that dilemma as followers of Jesus. Like, we've come to faith in Christ. We became citizens of heaven. What used to be home here is no longer considered our home, which means this world should no longer feel quite right to us. And yet it's a struggle because this world is what we're used to. Even though it's no longer our home, it still feels like home. So as citizens of heaven, we're in this process, right, of realigning our identity and our allegiances and our affections with God's kingdom rather than any earthly nation or any place in the world in general. Right? Now, another aspect is just like the Roman colony was intended to promote the culture and the values and the ideals of the Roman Empire, our citizenship, as citizens of heaven, we should be conveying the values and the ideals that we hold as inhabitants of our new country. Like, it should influence the words we use and how we speak. Our citizenship should affect our entire way of life. Like, we should live as Christ calls us to now. There are benefits that come with being a citizen as well. As citizens of heaven, we are under the protection of the King of Kings, which is more powerful than any earthly army or any earthly entity. We have permission to enter his presence at any time, just as we have the right to be one day in our home. But those benefits, they come with responsibilities too. Right? There are rules to follow, laws to keep, and instructions that he's given us. And anyway, the point is this: as citizens of heaven, we have the responsibility to demonstrate God's kingdom here on earth. And he lays out for us things like how we should act, how we should speak, how we should live, and so on. In other words, our citizenship in heaven should be reflected in our way of life. Right? We no longer live for the things of the world because we know they're ultimately futile. Even though we're still living in the world, we should be living for the things of God. So we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and we trust him for all the rest. Okay, so that's like that first phrase, some things about citizenship I just wanted to pull out as we hear, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at that second part of that verse. From heaven we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that really challenged me this week as I was working through this. Maybe it will be a challenge for you as well. But we often think of being citizens of heaven as if like, well, we're here on earth and we're just waiting for life to be over so we can get there. Right? Like, we're waiting for that day when our life comes to an end so we can become angels that float around playing harps and wearing halos on some ethereal, cloudy heaven where we'll be forever. Right? That's not the picture of heaven that Scripture paints. Not really very close, and yet that's kind of what we think. You know, the song we sang talking about streets of gold, there's gates of pearl, river, trees. It's this massive city with 12-foot thick walls and just 1,000 miles wide and long and high. I mean, it's massive. It's this incredible picture in Scripture. But the point is that this verse isn't suggesting that we should be just waiting to get to heaven. Rather, if we're waiting for anything, we are waiting for our Savior, Jesus, to come to us from heaven. Right? Heaven comes down. And I was thinking, like, well, what's the difference there? What does that mean? How does that like affect me? Well, we aren't supposed to just live in survival mode right now until we get to be with him. Instead, we should be living in anticipation of him. Like, yes, we're waiting, but we're not waiting for a place to get away to or to get back to. Like, we're waiting for our permanent vacation one day. Instead, we're waiting for Jesus to come, to dwell with us, to rule and to reign forever. We're waiting for the day that God makes all things new, where his kingdom comes and his will is done here on the earth as it is in heaven. Right? As citizens of a heavenly kingdom, we're looking forward to a time when our coming king, who is Jesus, will bring his heavenly kingdom full force to where we are. New heavens, new earth, and he comes to be with us. And I just, the challenge for me as I was reading this was being citizens of heaven now, it isn't just a picture of waiting for God to take us away so we can like be in the motherland. It's more of a picture of wanting heaven to come down and take over everything. And that's why in the meantime, what we are called to be is heavenly representatives in this world. Right? The future that we are waiting for is something we should be living out now. Right? That's like reading between the lines of the future is now. The future we're waiting for is something we should be living out now. You know, the Scriptures use another term for us, what we're supposed to be. We're citizens of heaven, it says that, but it also calls us ambassadors. Ambassadors. So 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul writes this, "Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us." We're ambassadors of Jesus. As citizens of heaven, we're actually, if you could take that a step further, it's almost like we're little embassies here on earth. Where we go, there heaven is. God is there with us. Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is there because he dwells within us. Like, we are the ones who must make him known. We are the ambassadors. We are like embassies, right? Like, think about a Roman colony. Philippi was this extension of Rome in the Roman Empire. When you were in Philippi, you were, for all intents and purposes, in Rome, right? You were part of that empire. It's like the concept of an embassy for us overseas. An embassy is this diplomatic headquarters located in another country. When you step into, like, say, a U.S. embassy on foreign land, that territory is treated as if it's the United States itself. All the rules, the rights, the privileges that we have here apply there. It's the presence of the United States of America in another country. Well, we, as followers of Jesus, we are like little heavenly embassies in the world. Our citizenship is not where we are. It's not here on this earth, even though we live here. We belong to the Lord. We are part of his kingdom and his empire. We are extensions of heaven. So instead of waiting to get to heaven, we are little embassies bringing the presence of Jesus wherever it is we are. We're ambassadors. We're embassies. We're citizens of heaven. Okay, so that's the first part of the big statement. We are citizens of heaven. And so much more than that. But also, we are in the world and not of the world. Right? We are in the world, not of the world. Now, this is a phrase we often use in Christian circles and in the church. Right? It's not really a Bible verse. It's more of like a summary of concept from the Bible. And we get this idea, in the world, not of the world, from passages like these. John 17, verses 15 and 16. Jesus says, my prayer, talking about his disciples, my prayer is not that you, Father God, it's not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Right? Not of the world, even though they are in the world. In verse 18, after, it goes on to say, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Right? Ambassadors. We're not of the world, even though we are still in it. John 15, 19 is another verse that's like this. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Right? Like, it's almost like, side note, if the world really loves you and you don't clash with it in some way, some shape, some form, it's probably an indication you're living an awful lot like the world and not like what Jesus calls us to, right? That's something to think about there. The world is going to hate you because you're not of the world. Romans 12, 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Right? The ways, the patterns of this world, they're not the patterns of God. Neither is its way of thinking or its point of view. So don't follow in those ways, but focus on God's ways instead, because his ways are the right ones. Right? One more verse, John, 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Right? It's, who do we love? Do we love God? Do we love Jesus? Or are we way more in love with the world and the ways of it? I think when I hear these, and again, challenge for me, challenge for all of us, one of the problems with these verses is that we hear them and we tend to think, I'm not conforming to the ways of the world. I don't love the world. I wouldn't consider myself of the world or worldly. And we think that about ourselves because we know Jesus. We trust Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. And yet, our lives don't always display that reality because we choose pleasure over obedience. We choose hatred over love. We choose selfishness over serving. We choose accumulating things over generosity. We choose entertainment over prayer. Right? We choose recreation over church. We choose fiction over the Word of God. We choose people's opinions over God's truth. We choose comfort over trust, right? You could go on and on. Like, we're all guilty of these things, me included. We spend so much time choosing and chasing after the things of little value, and even sometimes things associated with darkness, sin, instead of the light. And yet all the while, we're saying to ourselves, we're not really of the world. Let's not kid ourselves. Yes, we are. Oftentimes. If that's how we live, then yes, we are. We are in the world, but we aren't supposed to be of the world. Right? So that's the second part. And the third thing is that our names are in the book of life. Our names are in the book of life. Daniel 12:1. It's a prophecy here, but it says, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, Michael, an angel, will arise, talking about the future. There will be this time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, and here's the key phrase, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Right? Everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Now, the book of life is kind of like, I guess we could think of it as like a directory for heaven, in a sense, right? It's mentioned in Daniel's prophecy here. It's mentioned or described a couple of different times in Revelation. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life are those who will be with him in heaven. Those whose names are not written in the book of life will face the fire, right? That's what Scripture says. Now, some people will say, oh, yeah, but Daniel, Revelation, that's a lot of symbolic imagery. It's just a metaphor. Except Paul mentioned it long before John's revelation. In Philippians 4:3, he mentions fellow workers whose names are written in God's book. Oh, by the way, Moses mentions it too, like 1,500 years earlier. And Jesus, he told his disciples not to rejoice because the evil spirits are subject to them, but because their names are written in heaven. Now look, whether it's a literal book or not, the point is clear. God knows your name. If you are his, if you have put your faith and your trust in Jesus, his son, then your name is written in heaven. It's recorded in his story and included in his book. Like, you belong to him. And it also says that that's not true for everyone, unfortunately. But it is true for you. So because you have Jesus, you are citizen of heaven. You are in the world, but not of the world. And your name is in the book of life. And then, of course, with all of this, we have to say, okay, so what? What do I do with that? If these things are true, then we have the opportunity to do more than just bide our time here on earth until we get to heaven. And I think that's really the point of today. We're called to live, as we said, as ambassadors of Jesus, to be little embassies of heaven in the world wherever we happen to be. We're supposed to reflect God's presence in the world while not being of the world. I saw this quote this week by a pastor, author, Josh Howerton. I can't say I know much about him, but I love the quote. It said this: the easiest way to waste your life is to succeed at the things that don't matter. The easiest way to waste your life is to succeed at the things that don't matter, right? That's so true. And it goes back to something we talked about a lot earlier in this series. Life is meaningful. We have significance. So let's not waste it by spending the little time that we have here on earth chasing after things that really don't matter. Let's be chasing after Jesus instead, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And in the end, we won't miss the point or lose the plot. Now, to do that, we actually have to live as the citizens of heaven that we are, right? We can't, like, keep one foot in each world. Colossians 1:3 says this: he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Right? We've been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his Son. Transferred, right? Not foot in both worlds. We were here, now we're here. Right? We've been transferred from death to life, from worldly to spiritual. We've been transferred from earthly to heavenly. But with the transfer of our identity or our citizenship to heaven, like all of our identity and our allegiance, that's transferred too. As citizens of heaven, we become, well, foreigners in this world. We don't, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this. There are some people in this world who have dual citizenship, right? I know maybe for many of us, the most famous one here in Wisconsin is a particular guy who happens to be a basketball player that's from Greece, right? Dual citizenship. When it comes to our spiritual reality, we can't be citizens of both. We've been transferred over. Light, and here's why. Light and dark, life and death, spiritual and worldly, godly and ungodly, those things don't mix. They don't mix. So our citizenship has been transferred. Our allegiance, our identity, and our devotion needs to be to heaven, which requires us to be cutting ties with the ways of the world, the kingdom of this world, even while we're living in it. And another passage in Colossians 3, 1 through 3 tells us to set our minds then on things above. Right? Verse 1, if you have then been raised with Christ, in other words, you've been brought from death to life, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also be with him in glory. Right? That phrase, set your minds, in Greek is the word phroneo, and it means to think about, to care about, and to set affections upon or to be mindful of. Right? We put our focus not on the things of earth, but on the things of heaven. Why? Because you die. You died. Your life in an earthly sense is over. My life in an earthly sense is over. You now belong to Jesus. Like, period. End of story. Most of you will remember this. Maybe for some of you, you weren't even alive. But way back in the day, there was a movie called The Sixth Sense. Right? People remember that? Anyone? Anyone? Bruce Willis and Freddie Highmore, right, I think was the kid, or what? Oh, yeah, Haley Joel Osment. Those two I get confused, right? Yeah, not say Haley Joel Osment. Thank you. The whole time, Bruce Willis's character, I think we have a picture of this, do we have that? Yeah, there you go. That guy right there. Bruce Willis's character, he's a counselor, and he's trying to help this kid who claims to be able to see dead people all the time, right? That's the line. It terrifies him. But Bruce Willis is counseling him to try and encourage him to find out what it is they want, what it is they're hanging around for. Like, it's like they're trying to move on, but they can't because they're trying to send a message. Now, all of this is just spiritually all messed up, right? So let's just put that out in the open. But that's not the relevant point here. The big reveal, sorry if you haven't seen it, but the big reveal at the end of the movie is not that the boy learns how to interact with dead people. It's that Bruce Willis's character doesn't realize he's been dead the whole time. Dun, 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 right? Great movie, by the way. Again, spiritually, great movie. The point is, sometimes we don't realize it either, that we're dead too. We died to sin, and now we're alive in Christ. We died to ourself, and now we're alive to Jesus. We died to the ways of the world. We don't belong to this place. We're no longer citizens here. We belong to heaven. So if that's where we belong, if that's ultimately our home, it's good to put our focus and set our minds on that place, on the kingdom. In the meantime, though, we should live fully and confidently as ambassadors of Jesus, as little embassies of heaven, as citizens of heaven here in this world. In this world, but not of the world, with full confidence, with full assurance, because our names are written in heaven. They're written in the book of life. Right? We have an amazing eternal future. But that future that we are waiting for is something we should be living out now. The future is now. I want to pray, and we're going to close with a few more songs of worship. If you'd join me in prayer, if the team wants to come up. Father God, we have so many reasons that we should be able to rejoice in you. And when we talk about our future being now, the reality is that we are citizens of heaven. You have transferred us because of our faith and trust in Jesus, we are now transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We're transferred into your heavenly kingdom, and we're no longer citizens of this world, but we're citizens of heaven. So help us to live not according to the ways of this world, but according to your desires, your kingdom, for your glory. To set our minds on the things that are above, and that as we do that, God, we would live out the life you have called for us with assurance and confidence, knowing that we belong to you. Our name is in heaven. And Lord, where we struggle, you know, we pray for your strength. Where we're weak, we pray for your strength. Where we have failed, we pray you bring us victory. We surrender ourselves, come to the end of ourselves, we give up trying to do things in our own power, and we ask for you, your presence, your power in our life, to live the way you call us to. And that in this world, everywhere we go, people would get a little taste of heaven. They would get a glimpse of heaven. Because as your ambassadors, we represent you. And we want to represent you well. We want it to be that when other people look at Eric, they don't see Eric, but they see Jesus in me. That they see not just a group of people here, but that they see Jesus in us. And that as we reflect you, heaven takes over. Their hearts are drawn to you, to the love that you have, to the grace that you offer, to the mercy that you give. And Father, help us to represent that. We are citizens of heaven. We understand that, but help us to live that out in a way that brings you glory and honor and draws other people to you. We pray these things in the name of Christ.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.